remember, officials from the AG's office, and I'm going to take just some short introductions, and officials from the DPMA, and officials from the audit committee, and officials from our portfolio committee, most welcome to this meeting, where we are going to receive a presentation from the Auditor General's office. The secretary informed us that the reason why DPMA is not factored in as a second or as a second presentation is because they did not confirm. So when we come to the agenda, we'll then effective by hand. And secondly, we would like to welcome members from a short recess. I would imagine you have enjoyed a richly deserved rest, but most importantly, an engagement with constituencies or for purposes of informing them about our activities or things that we're doing here in their name. With that, I suggest that we just take some short introductions. Let's start with the ages of it. Mr. Hua.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, Chair, and morning to honorable members. And let me also extend my greetings to colleagues from Delco and also colleagues there. As the chairperson has indicated, my name is Solisa Hua. I am the corporate executive responsible for this portfolio. With me is Zatani Vikore, who is the executive, as well as Kamakumari Naika, who is the responsible for this portfolio. Ms. Naika will be taking us through the presentation, and we will be dealing with other questions as we go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Most welcome, DPMA.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable member. I am Zoya Rachet. I'm from DPMA Department of Planning, Monitoring, and Evaluation. My title is what they call ESA or Outcome Facilitation. And that's because I can facilitate two outcomes, outcome and traditional ways, justice, class, prevention, and security. My name is Mr. Hank Stefan J. EZA, also from the DPMA, to present on MTEC or statewide MTEC. And my life is sponsored by the facility of the two outcomes that I have.
Looks like there is some in front of a very famous doctor. I hope you can sing and dance. We'll check mathematics.
The story that I have is that Ms. Dori Ratev is actually, her real name is not Dori Ratev. She is in my team. Yes. She named herself after an aunt of mine, Dori Ratev, who is in Canada. They were school together.
So the secret is out. Are you committee?
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the portfolio committee, colleagues of the AQ and DPMA. My name is Kudu Kuba and I represent the committee of the COP.
Thank you very much. The honorable members that we have here for now, we have Honorable Nathan, we have Honorable Mukhalapa, we have Honorable Berhman, we have Honorable Khatere, we have Honorable Kenya. I'm in the chair, and because the name is Masango. And, Bungi. mina ngobani ngithanda asazi wonke umuntu la wavesting kahle
he practiced the foreign service bill.
So my name is Bondi, I'm media officer.
Thank you very much.
My name is Mike William McLaughlin. I'm a political communication officer at the British Council.
Hi, Bondi.
Hi.
Morning, everybody. It's Mal Hussain from BMG.
Thank you very much. Okay. Can I hear apologies? Can we receive apologies? Not here. Sorry. Can we receive apologies, thank you, sir?
Yes, thank you, sir. We have two apologies, sir. One from Honorable S. Kalyan, she's attending the Pan-African Parliament session. And another one from Honorable Chief Lepota, who's attending an anti-corruption march in Johannesburg today.
The apology is accepted, the reason is rejected. But you can vote against the chair. Then at the option of the agenda, you remember in my welcoming remarks, I said something about the CPMA. So I think we should, the CPMA, would like us to formalize their session now. Can I hear you?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that let's rearrange the agenda so that after 3.1, we'll have 3.2. We should be in a briefing by the Department of Monitoring and Resources.
Is there any second?
Second.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mukhalapa. We now defer to the agent's office, Sekua. Over to you.
Thank you, sir. I will then hand over to Kumari to take us through the presentation. But before I do that, Chair, request Honorable members to complete the evaluation form for us, which they can just indicate if there is anything that they feel we should cover going forward in our presentation. And over to Kumari.
Yeah, we've been joined by Honorable Rafuti. The lady in line, is in line.
Thank you, Jane. Good morning to the honorable members.
Woman's league. God, a bit. Proceed.
I think everyone has copies of the presentation as it was circulated, so I'm going to go straight into our verification summit of the Auditor General. I'm just going to read it and then I'm going to put some context to it. The Auditor General of South Africa has a constitutional mandate as the Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa. It exists to strengthen our country's democracy and enabling.
Chef, that's on the point of order. We've got two presentations. Are you addressing us on the briefing note or on the briefing to the committee?
On the presentation. The briefing document just supports and provides additional information that's not included as part of the presentation. So we exist to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. Now, when we go to the detail of our presentation, you will see that we provide some insight in terms of oversight responsibility and the performance in the structure of government is part of that oversight mechanism that we have. In terms of the accountability, in terms of our recourse reporting, we hold specific persons responsible for the audit outcomes. and that is all part of our reputation promise. So moving over to the page, in terms of the purpose of our engagement this morning, annually, Oversight Committee encourages the time aside to focus on assisting the performance of departments and on constitutional disclosure. The portfolio committees are required to develop department-specific reports, namely the budget key review and recommendations reports, more commonly referred to as the BRRR, which express the committee's view on the department's budget for recommendations to National Treasury ahead of the following year's budget period. In terms of our role at the agency, it should reflect on the audit work performed as part of the prior audit cycle, and assist use of portfolio committee in its oversight role in assessing the performance of the department, taking into consideration the objective of the committee to produce a BRRR. In terms of our presentation this morning, we're going to spend some time telling you about the audit outcome. We're going to talk about unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. We're going to discuss the combined assurance model together with the assessment of the various layers of assurance providers. We're going to spend some time focusing on the key concerns in the portfolio, the top three root causes together with our recommendations. And then we'll conclude by giving an overview of the commitment that we see from the minister as well as the new commission. Now, if we go over to the overall audit outcome, you will see in terms of the portfolio, and I think you mentioned that the portfolio basically consists of the department and the Schedule 3A entity, the AIF. You will see that there was one audit, and that was for the ARF, where there was an unqualified audit opinion on the financial statement, and there were findings, and those findings related to compliance matters, but we'll provide more details as we go on. And the department itself received a qualification on assets, together with findings on non-compliance matters. We move over to our six key focus areas. You will see in terms of the quality of submitted financial statements, we had significant issues with both the department and area. And in terms of movement from the previous year, you will see that we are seeing that there was limited or stagnant progress. So it's a similar issue that we picked up with regards to the quality of the submitted financial statements. When we move on to the quality of submitted performance report, you will see that there's one issue related to screening, and that relates to the record. We had no issues on performance information that was significant enough for us to escalate it to the audit report. While with the ANF, there were material adjustments effected to the submitted annual performance report. You had adjustments in place, and that reflects as revealed on the presentation. With regards to supply chain management, you see that it's both is listed as
what is this?
I'm on the slide number six.
Number six?
Yes.
Yeah. But if the colors here are, what color is it? Each level, I'm color blind. I'm working on the
wrong one, so this is the bad color.
Yeah.
Oh.
This color.
Okay, proceed, color
for the office. I'm on the supply chain management graph on that slide. And you see it's reflected as a pink.
Yes, the bad color.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, this, what that means is for both the department and the area, we had significant findings relating to supply chain management, non-compliance matters. You will see with regards to financial health, it's reflected as a green, meaning we have no significant concerns regarding the going concern status of both the department and ARF, but there is a matter that we will raise as we go further down the presentation relating to the financial health. With regards to human resources management, you will see that we rated it as concerning. It's almost yellow color. And this basically relates to the lack of consequence management processes within the department as well as the ALS. With regards to IT-related matters here again, it's rated as concerning, and we'll provide further information as we go down to the IT-related slide. So this just gives you a snapshot of the six focus areas that we as the AG audit as part of the audit cycle. So moving on to slide 7, and here we give some context in terms of the quality of submitted financial statements. You will see that the picture looks very similar to 2013-14, and it comes back to what I said previously, that it was similar issues that we found with regards to the financial statements. You will see that in terms of the outcome is not corrected, both the department and the ARF would have been financially qualified. However, with regards to the ARF, they were able to close with all the required adjustments to enable them to get an unqualified opinion. With regards to DERPA, on the other hand, they did not process some of the adjustments, which then resulted in a qualified audit opinion. Moving on to slide 8. When it comes down to compliance with legislation, some of the key, six key areas that we looked at was, first of all, the quality of the annual financial statements. This relates to my earlier statement where I mentioned that there were material adjustments that were effective to both DERPA and ARS. So that was one non-compliance matter. With regards to the prevention of unauthorized, irregular, and or fruitless information expenditure, we had significant issues relating to irregular expenditure for both the department as well as the ARS, and we have fruitless information expenditure in the department. So non-compliance is 100% for the portfolio. With regards to the management of procurement and the contracts, again, you would see it's 100%, meaning both AFC and the department have supply chain management non-compliance findings. With regards to the management of strategic planning and performance, you will see there it's split 50% green and 50% pink. The 50% green relates to DERPA. We have no issues regarding the strategic planning process as well as the performance of the department in terms of the submission of quarterly reports, the consistency of the documents. There were no material issues regarding SMART criteria, so that's well done to the department for that. With regards to the pink relates to the ARS. With the ARS, we have issues around the consistency between the strategic plan versus what was on the annual performance report. And as a result of the consistency issue, they have to accept adjustments to the annual performance report. And in addition to that, we also had an issue regarding the lack of evidence of submission of the proposed strategic plan to the executive authority. Now, for that one, although it was not significant enough to highlight, it is a non-compliance matter under that specific area. Then we move on to human resource and consequent management. You will see here again, as mentioned previously, it's 100%, meaning non-compliance with regards to consequent management for both the department as well as the entity. Here we found that there was this lack of effective steps taken to prevent, as well as the related consequence management that comes when you incur and with irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. Yes. We will have concerns regarding the extent of income or audit work performed on the entity. Out of a planned 6 audits, only 2 were performed. So internal audit needs to be closely monitored in terms of their function and their role over, of oversight in terms of the ARS. Moving on to slide 9, with regards to the financial part of the portfolio, when I spoke to the 6 focus areas, I mentioned that we had no significant concern. But a growing matter that is being highlighted is with regard to the impact of foreign exchange fluctuations on the budget and the expenditure of the department. Now, if you look at the rates that use, the exchanges that use during the MTF process versus the prevailing product rates, you see that DERCO could be negatively impacted in terms of the ability to effectively function, deliver, and execute such as a foreign policy due to constraints on the slide 10. This relates to the information technology. Now you will see it's broken down into four categories: security management, user access management, IT service continuity, and IT governance. Across all of them, you would see that there's been stagnant or little progress being made in terms of addressing previously reported issues. Some of the issues with regards to security management relates to passwords and user access control. And this comes down to the design and implementation of user account management policies and procedures. With regards to program change management, there's inadequate implementation of policies. In terms of IT service continuity, there's been issues regarding the design of the ICT disaster recovery plan together with the backup policy, and this also extends to the implementation of this plan. With regards to IT governance, there's issues regarding the design of the IT platform charter, and this is one of the key structures within the IT department. And there's certain issues with regards to the SLAs for some of the system owners of some of the systems that's used by DERCO, including the system that's used at the missions, which is called the MTS system. These matters were previously reported as findings to the department, and the CIO has not adequately resolved these deficiencies. Now moving on to slide 11, this is the slide that talks to the unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. You will see under unauthorized, and we've also included a definition in terms of these categories. You will see in terms of unauthorized expenditure, it's expenditure not in accordance with the budget vote or overspending of the budget or program. With regards to irregular, it's expenditure incurred in contravention of key legislation or prescribed process is not followed. And fruitless and wasteful expenditure means expenditure incurred in vain and could have been avoided if reasonable steps had been taken or there could be no value for money. Now in terms of unauthorized expenditure, you would see that it's only DERCO, it's only departments that could have unauthorized expenditure, and you would see that there's a 215 million rand unauthorized there. The same amount as the previous year, this amount actually rolled forward from the prior year, and that unauthorized was incurred as a result of foreign exchange fluctuations, as well as additional expenditure relating to the Mandela funeral. With regards to irregular expenditure, there's been an increase from the prior year with regards to DERCO. Irregular incurred in the current year was 102 million, and for the ARF, there was actually a decrease in the expenditure, and it's now down to 1.2 million. With regards to fruitless and wasteful, we only found fruitless and wasteful at DERCO, and that amounted to 363,000. Over the page on slide 12. Now this is a slide that depicts the various combined or the various layers that provide different paths of assurance to the portfolio. In terms of the first level of assurance, we have senior management, we have the accounting officers and authority, and we have the executive authority. And in terms of the required level of assurance, you will see that the BC layers, we say that it's extensive assurance that you normally get from being players. In terms of senior management, they take immediate action to address specific recommendations and adhere to financial management and internal control systems. With regards to accounting officers or authorities, they hold officials accountable on implementation of internal controls and report progress quarterly and annually. In terms of the executive, they monitor the progress of performance and enforce accountability and consequences. In terms of the second layer of assurance, which refers to certain coordinating or monitoring institutions, internal audit, and the audit committee, here as well, the required level of assurance is extensive. For instance, with regards to National Treasury or DPSA, they should monitor compliance with laws and regulations and enforce appropriate action. With regards to internal audit, they should follow up on management's actions to address specific recommendations and conduct own audits on key focus areas in the internal control environment and report on quarterly progress. With regards to the audit committee, they are required to monitor risks and the implementation of commitments on collective action made by management, as well as quarterly progress on the action plans. Now, when we come to the third level of assurance, which is an independent assurance level, we have oversight committees such as the portfolio committee, we have the public accounts committee, and we have the National Assembly. And here again, the required level of assurance is extensive. In terms of oversight, which is, for instance, the portfolio committee, they require to review and monitor quarterly progress on the implementation of action plans to address deficiencies. With regards to the public accounts committee, they exercise oversight on a regular basis on any report which may be necessary. In terms of the National Assembly, they provide independent oversight on the reliability, accuracy, and credibility of national as well as provincial government. Now, moving on to slide 13, this is our assessment of the various level or the various assurance provided. You will see with regards to senior management and the accounting authority, which is a part of the first level, we've assessed them as providing limited or no assurance. The executive authority provides some. With regards to internal audit, here we have a split with providing some assurance, and that's related to DERSO, while for ARF, we make them provide no assurance. This is because of the extent of the audits that they've performed. With regards to the audit committee, we've rated them as providing assurance as they have executed their requirements in terms of their mandate and their charter. With regards to the portfolio committee, we've rated this provides some assurance. Now, when we move over to the driver of key controls for the portfolio, you will see that in terms of the split, and there's three areas that we look at. We look at leadership, we look at financial and performance management, and we look at governance. Now, our overall assessment for both leadership and financial and performance management, we've rated that as having success, while governance, we've said there being an improvement. Now, in terms of the detail that comes from the headings as mentioned, you will see that under effective leadership culture, also we've said it's okay, we've not got any serious concerns, while for ARF, we've rated it as intervention being required. When it comes to oversight responsibility, we've got significant concerns across both DERSO as well as the ARF. On HR management for DERSO, we've rated it as intervention required, and we've raised concerns with regards to the ARF. For DERSO, for policies and procedures, we've rated it as intervention required, and we've rated it as concerning on ARF. With regards to action plans for both, we've rated it as intervention required. On IT governance for DERSO, we've rated it as concerning. Now, for the IT systems of ALF, they don't have separate systems. They are financial processes is done as part of the dashboard system. So that is why you don't see an assessment for the ARF. When it comes to financial and performance management, you see it's a very across both for proper record keeping, processing and reconciling of controls, reporting, as well as compliance matters. And this talks directly to the financial statements where we had edits, we had adjustments, we had qualification, so we've had non-compliance matters. So that really talks those areas, talks directly to what you see as the audit outcomes. With regards to the IT systems control, we see it's as a concerning, and I have already discussed the specifics around that. With regards to risk management for DERSCAP, we have no issue in terms of there being a risk profile, there being a risk strategy. We have raised certain concerns with regards to the extent of those risk profiles for the ARF. For both DERSCAP and ARF, we raised an internal audit as concerning. There needs to be further work done by internal audits in terms of follow-ups, in terms of audit reports, ensuring that management does implement the required recommendations, as well as timeliest completion of those audits and issuing final management reports with management comments, as well as any adequate follow-up of matters previously reported. And then we get to the audit committee across both, where we rate it as being fine, no significant concerns in terms of them executing their charter. So moving on to the top three root causes and recommendations. For the first one, we say there's been a slow response by management in addressing the root causes of poor audit outcomes. It was a similar thing we said last year, as you see that we rated it as stagnant on the progress. And basically our recommendation here is to improve the oversight provided by key role players, including the DG, the DG forum, internal audit, and the audit committee, over the collective action taken to address audit findings, including the functioning of the asset task team and improving the monitoring mechanisms used by the employees in this monitoring process. The department needs to compile a credible asset register which includes the following processes: 100% asset verification, disposal of old and or obsolete assets, including those in storage facilities. If a decision has been made that these assets cannot be used or surplus to the business needs currently, we also need to investigate missing assets and write up these assets if they cannot be located after a proper investigation and approval process is followed. The timely update of asset register for additions, disposals, as well as retirements and scrapping. In terms of the next root cause, relating to a key official lack appropriate competencies. You will see there that this is a new one that we're raising in the current year and related to her having this test. Our recommendation over this root cause is that all personnel that provide input to the financial statement should be trained on the financial reporting framework to ensure that valid, accurate, and complete financial statements are compiled and are supported by appropriate documentation, including proper reconciliation. The last root cause relates to the lack of consequences for poor performance and transgressions. And here again, we rated this as stagnant or little progress. It was reported previously. Our recommendation here is a staff involved in the procurement as well as senior management should be trained on SCM legislative requirements as well as performance management to ensure non-compliance is prevented and performance as well as consequence management is enhanced. So So those are the top three root causes together with our recommendations of how these root causes should be addressed. Now moving over the page. Now we get to the Minister's commitment to address the report. Now I'm going to start off with the detail captured in a yellow block to the left of the document. You will see that for these ones, we've rated the commitments that we received as very appropriate, and these include the following. Implement proper oversight mechanisms over the ARF and ensure a framework is implemented to govern the activities of the entity. Follow up on the development of existing and the new finance phase to perform effective financial management, including monthly reconciliations. Monitor the compiling of monthly financial statements and reconciliations, including disclosure notes. Perform a detailed root cause analysis for recurring asset issues. Discuss new interventions being rolled out so that appropriate action can be taken. The CFO to commit or deploy resources to deal with the timely update of the fixed asset registers at head office. Close monitoring of SEN compliance as well as HR management. And the CIO to address identified IT deficiencies. So for all of those commitments, we rated it as being in progress because we did see some movement with regards to it. With regards to the commitments captured in the red block, those relate to enhancing performance and consequence management, improving the oversight provided by key role players over the corrective actions taken to address repeat audit findings. Now the reason for us saying that these have not been implemented is there was no improvement in the audit outcomes and the bulk of the report is the repeat of what was previously reported. In terms of the new commitment that we obtained, that relates to improving the monitoring mechanisms used by the oversight structure to monitor progress made in achieving clean administration. So those are the commitments you get through courses. Now, in terms of the commitments from this committee, I just want to take you to the last page of the Word document, or the other document that was provided to you. Just on the last page of it. And on this, you will see that these are the commitments that we requested from the committee. And this is what we recommend should be action. There should be commitment by the department to resolve the access issues, both admissions as well as head office. There should be commitment by the department to address repeat audit findings and ensure that consequence management is instituted against officials who fail to address findings. You should be given a status update on the criminal proceedings instituted against the previous ACSA High Commissioner together with the recoveries of all the money. There should be monitoring of the status of the implementation of SATFA and the impact on the activities of the ARF. We've heard about SATFA over a number of years, so you need to be kept abreast of to when is SATFA going to finally become operational. And then the last one, you should be meeting the chairperson of the audit committee at least biannually with a view to all levels of assurance having a common understanding of the issues within the portfolio. So these are the commitments that we are requesting that should be action by itself. So that takes care of our presentation to the committee.
Thank you very much, thank you very much for the presentation and for sharpening our insights and understanding into issues abstaining in this department. I'm going to invite from your good self any addition if there's any. Otherwise, I will request members to post clarity seeking questions if there is no addition. Okay, thank you very much. Honourable members, are there any takers on clarity seeking questions for purposes of engaging the department more constructively this afternoon? Honourable Khater.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I'd like to welcome the report by the AG office. The AG office, I take it as a friend to the Controller Office because it tends to alert us on the issues of the use of the public resources. Because we must try as much as possible to ensure that the public gets maximum benefit from the limited resources that we're having in the country. That's why I say that my first point of reference of departure will be to appreciate the report and the roles played by the AG's office. So in moving forward, I'll go straight to writing by the page level. I'll go straight to page level. On the issues of page 11, in particular on the issue of the unauthorized expenditure, I think that last year, Chair, we dealt with this issue as a portfolio committee, and then after dealing with it as a portfolio committee, I think that we gave it a condonment in particular, because that unauthorized expenditure was something unavoidable. That's like the passing on of the former president of the Republic. But I still see that it is still coming on. But from what I also know is that the department has already gone to the Public Accounts Committee in which this issue was addressed. But I see it recurring again, coming on. Why is it like that? And then on the issue of the irregular expenditure, let's look at that one. The irregular expenditure, I think that last time we also dealt with, whereby we said they are accounted as a department is operating in foreign countries. We found that in a particular country, we found that there might be one supplier for a particular commodity or for a particular good. So what might happen during that time is that they might not be able to comply with the three quotations rule, which is applied by the treasurer. But we really demanded from the side of the department that they must apply for the exemption on that, so that they must engage to the national treasurer. So what I'd like to ask, Chair, is did the department comply with that, in particular the exemption thereof? And then the last one, Chair, will be the issue of the driver of the controls of the portfolio on page 14. I think that's page 14. There I don't understand, Chair. On the issue of the financial and performance management, it is red. It's all red. On the issue of governance, when dealing with the issue of governance, dealing with the issue of risk management, internal audit committee, there the things are okay. They are okay. But on the other side, it is red. So I think that it's some sort of a contradiction. Because if you deal with risk management, if there's no proper record keeping, it's already a risk on its own. If there's no proper processing and recovering of controls, that one is the reason. But on the other side, the risk management is given a thumbs up. But when you look at the financial, and then it's actually direct opposite of that. Can the AG's office explain why? Because I think it's a contradiction in that regard. But on the overall, Chair, I appreciate this report. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable
Khater,
you're
thank you very much, Mr. President. Let me also echo the sentiment of my colleague in welcoming the AG's report. Yes, indeed, you are our friend because you give us pointers before we could meet to the principal department. I just want to also latch on the issue of the serial issues that have been raised by the auditor general. And I think when I get the analysis is that you are saying to us, they received the qualified support because of issue of non-verification of assets, as well as non-compliance to legislation and lack of consequential management. Now, you did provide the reasons for the unauthorized expenditure, being the Mandela Funeral and the foreign exchange fluctuation, which we cannot do much about. But in terms of irregular expenditure, the 102 million, would you say what would be the key reasons behind that? Should it be the issue of saying that most of the officials who are in procurement and supply chain management lack the necessary capacity to perform their duties, or it's just merely just a recurring thing? Because we knew last year that when the department had a qualified opinion, some of the issues that you have identified will definitely recur for some time. And I think this is clearly what is happening. They're not going to go away very soon until there is quite a significant movement from the department to try and address it. So in your analysis, where is really critically the problem in as far as the department is concerned? And have you also, because of the issue of ICT, which is my biggest issue, because of the environment that this department is functioning under. We cannot have a department that's functioning without a safe and secure ICT system, especially as part of social media and as well as new technology. It's a driver of international relations currently. What is the remedial action in terms of that ICT? But I think most of the concerns that we have is something that we need to take up with the department later on. Thank you very much, and I welcome the report from the AG.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members.
Thank you, Chair. I think also let me welcome the report, and if you correctly put it, Chair, that it's just a clarification question from the AG's report. And thank for empowering us as a committee in order to take the department on this stage. But Chair, that's the reality. Your slide, when you said green represents good, pink represents intervention, and yellow content. So what I'm saying here, on those on yellow, is 100%. So which means there is a content, 100% content. And on intervention required, it was 100%. So my question is, as you have say on your presentation that you have indicated this thing, I think previously. So my question is, do you think the department has not improved? Because this 100% to me, if I don't know if I'm correct or wrong, this 100% it means that there's no improvement at all. When it comes to IT, I think it's page 9. Correctly, so when you talk about fluctuation, I just want to get from your side, SAG, as people who come also come with a possible solution, because you correctly pointed out that maybe the department does not have any possible solution. It's beyond their control when it comes to fluctuations, foreign exchange, and so on. I'm not saying it's like this, but this is my understanding that when the currency is fluctuating, we're in Africa for argument's sake, we don't control market forces. So the politics of market forces does not say we can't do anything. So on your recommendation, you are saying the treasurer must continue engaging with the department. Maybe to you, what could be possible done in order to avoid this situation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Bethma.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to find out, in terms of the wasteful and irregular expenditure, I think it might be a useful gimmick to actually also have the percentage of the budget represented, because I think that tells us a lot of the time I sit in two committees, And in the one, the wasteful expenditure is low, but yet the budget is lower, so the percentage might be higher in terms of its budget. I'm of the opinion that the higher the budget, the more money is wasted or harder to control, let's say. And I think a useful addition to your reporting could be the adding the percentages. In terms of the dollar issue, the fluctuation, the currency fluctuation, is there ways in which you can hedge, as in a legal way in which to hedge, in terms of either purchasing another currency and holding it or something to that effect? You know, are there any ideas that you have in terms of what my honourable colleague's question is, just to see if there is any alternatives to what she's saying? In terms of the coloured graph on page 14, you give the department, you give DIRCO a green light on effective leadership and culture, but yet everything else is red and yellow. Now, effective leadership would have an impact on all those colours. So it's almost inconsistent to give them high five and everyone else red. They should be directly responsible for that. And in the same vein, risk management. You can't manage your risk if you don't really know what your risk is. So if you don't really have your internal controls up to scratch, you have by relevance, you have a poor risk management already. So those two green colours, I think you're being highly generous there.
Thank you very much. You want to come back to your panel later?
Yes, sir. Also, on the slide 14, just a clarification, because yesterday was on some affairs, and this issue was a lot of contention between IEC and AG. Maybe let me use this opportunity to get a clarity. Under IT governance and IT system control, would you look at IT governance, and then you have your IT system control.
Oh, okay. Okay. Honorable Saput,
yeah.
You want to let you in?
Yeah.
Because I want them to answer now.
Yeah, thank you very much, Auditor General, for the presentation. And I think we are happy on what you have really presented to us. And I still remember with the issue of asset management, we even spoke about it last year, and probably will ensure that, the department make stringent intervention in that regard. And seeing that we are working under a global competitive world, probably we are competing with other global countries, and that is where there are some gaps in that. But we'll see how can we be able to assist in that regard. And I thank you.
Honorable Dolo.
Thank you. With your respect, what you said, I was wondering if you're not doing cut and paste. You seem to be having exactly what you have. I'm not saying it like that. I just want to know. Secondly, you give all green to audit committee, and yet I thought audit committee is supposed to be monitoring all that you're complaining about. But they are green, green, green. I would think that if you are a principal of a school and you use your stomach well, your children will be straight. And if they are not straight and you are the only one who is good in the teacher, I don't understand. But anyway, let's get to specifics. You have what you gave as would you call it, a management letter or something like that? So it's really that. The reply regarding the supply chain management problem. As you are aware that the we are operating in a very difficult and situation or different situations of products. You've got your laws in South Africa which are not necessarily the same as the laws where the department is operating. You have I want to make it, let's say, Malaysia, whatever. We have a certain laws which are contrary to what you have here. Is this opinion general? What is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, natural America what do you call it? Yeah, missions. Are you sampling? What is the percentage of your sampling in addressing these issues? Are you taking 5%? Are you taking more than 50% of the mission? Are you? Yeah. It gives an idea because, as I say, that I'm not very young. When you look at this, to me, it seems that when I look at the copy that you sent me last year, it looks exactly the same. Are you saying there is no improvement at all from what I've done? And your sampling, that becomes very, very important. Or did you actually go to those that you didn't go to last year and found the similar things? Or what is the position? The fruitless expense. You see, you have got a very good terminology. If I was stuck or there was an accident on my way to the airport, I already have a ticket, but there's an accident on my way to the airport. I missed the plane. That's fruitless expense as far as the airport. Am I assuming correct? Because I could have avoided. Where do you get the avoidance and cannot avoid? And if so, how much? Because it's quite a lot of money that we are talking about. And it gives an impression that these people literally threw away money. And such a lot of money. It gives a very, very bad impression. I'm not saying it shouldn't be bad. But you're not specific at all on what type of a thing it is. It is a very gloomy picture of the department. As a consequence, how gloomy is the group? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We've been joined by the member who has just spoken now, Honorable Mzolo. And the Honorable Dudley. I think I would want to provide an answer and then just have a second round so that we are not overloaded or overfed with questions, whatever applies better. Answer? You know, Tina, it. You know, Tina, you go.